whom I may not know personally. But we are indeed so pleased that Wesley Methodist School Penang International has opened its doors in our official location as of 3rd September 2018. So I bring greetings to you from the Council of Education of the Methodist Church in Malaysia. When we met last, Pastor Jeremy asked me if I would like to share the word, and I said, well, yes, and he gave me this date. And I was just pondering, and I said, well, we've just come through, in our tradition, the Lent period, the Passion Week, the Good Friday observation, and Easter. As mentioned just now, the security measures that have been put in place on account of the events that took place on the Easter weekend is drastic, very, very, very drastic, and very, very sad. Yet, we should not be surprised. When 911 took place, all the measures in the airports changed. All the insurance premiums changed. All the calculation of insurance premiums changed because life expectancy changed. Today, we are getting used to new tradition. And when Pastor Jeremy was speaking, I was thinking about a question that was asked of me about 2 years ago. You might know that between the Jelutong Highway and Kapal Singh Drive is this school that has multicolored windows. That's how the taxi people recognize us. But those people that are coming from Kapal Singh Drive sees a very big cross. And if you came by ferry from Butterworth to the island, you will see this big cross. And one grandfather at one time asked me, when I was doing a forum in the Methodist Boys' School, he asked me, are you endangering our children if they go to your school? Well, I think the question is left to be answered. You know, it's not every day that a cross is allowed to be put in front of your building. But God has so kindly done this for us that in our building plan approval, we got that approved. And we will not give that a miss. So if the Lord allows, the Lord knows why He allows it. And we believe in Him. Well, this morning, as part of the post-Easter, they call it Eastertide, I want to talk about this raising of Lazarus, the dying and the raising of Lazarus. And this comes from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. But I'm sure you're all familiar with the passage, so I will not take too much time to read through the passage, but I will go through some points as to what I want to share together with us on this particular event that took place prior to the death of Jesus. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together and worship together. We thank you for the safety that you have accorded to us. We don't take this lightly, nor for granted, Lord. Lord, we thank you that our time together, that you have so allowed, will be a time that we can edify one another. May your name be praised, even as we share this time together, pondering on what you want to tell us this day. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, in this particular event, the passage in John talks about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany being very close friends to Jesus. And every time Jesus comes to Bethany, he gets extended hospitality at their home. And in that family, the one sister is very active, proactive, the doer. The other sister is a little bit of a dreamer. So she sits down and, you know. And the brother, we didn't hear so much of. But we know that one day he became ill. And
at that time, Jesus was towards the end of his ministry time. And at that time, word was sent to him. And the word says in John 11, chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" What does he say? The sisters say to Jesus, he sent word, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Sometimes we say, "Lord, come on, come on." If we know somebody well, our expectations are set differently, we will say, "You know, so-and-so is sick, you better come now, you better come now." We make the dictates. But this message went, "Lord, the one you love is sick." The two sisters are so comfortable at the fact that Jesus loves them. And are so comfortable at the fact that they do not need to ask. That if it is the right thing and the right time, Jesus will come. So this is something I want to talk about. The second thing I want to say is, then the disciples kind of expecting him to go back, and he waited two more days. And when Jesus eventually said he will go back, of course they are asking, "But Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Well, the people there were very happy with the miracles, the signs, and the acts that Jesus could do. Where they couldn't settle was the fact that they call it blasphemy, because they said that Jesus claims he is of God. And when Jesus answered them, you know, talking about light, daylight, safety, he kind of puns through. He's talking about it's day, it's safe, you know, isn't there day and night? Yeah? And he is inferring this to us too. Are we people of the light or are we not people of the light? But anyway, eventually, after all that discussion, Jesus came to Bethany. Now, Bethany is not so far from Jerusalem. Well, maybe it's 2 days' walk, maybe, but it's not so far. And by that time when he came, Lazarus has died. And so in that area, I think the facilities are not so good. So they bury Lazarus quite quickly. And the burial is, in some kind of a cave. And they put him in, they wrap him with cloth. And they put him in and they kind of put a stone over this place. Now, what would you think would be the conversation when he was coming? When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet him. And what did she say? "Lord, if you have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." If it was us, how would we say? "Ayo! Now only you're coming, ah!" You see, "If you have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." I will imagine, as we know, Jesus is fully God and fully man. And from the time he heard that Lazarus was ill, and Jesus knew that he wasn't going to go there because there are many teachable moments from that time he heard till the time the people were told to roll the stone away. There were many teachable moments. And Jesus was going to teach his disciples. He was going to help Mary and Martha understand a lot more about what resurrection is. Many, many of us especially when you go out and do evangelism and share four gospel laws and share all kinds of methods. A lot of new believers understand and say they receive Jesus, they believe in Jesus, but they thought that eternity is sometime further away. But Jesus wanted to teach them at this particular time and this particular moment that eternity and eternal life and resurrection can be also for the now. I thought that this was something we want to talk about at this period, because when we go to church for a long time and you do Good Friday and you do Easter and you think about the resurrection and then celebrate, go eat, do whatever, and then you forget what it's supposed to be. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44, it tells us what resurrection is. It says, resurrection, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So these people were raised from the dead, but none of them were given glorified bodies. When Jesus did resurrection of Lazarus. So when we think about these things, and I tied this to the story, because when Jesus came and had a discussion with Martha, and then Martha ran and told Mary, and Mary came, and all those people that came to pay respects also came along. And when Jesus saw the condition, it says he wept. Many people say that's the shortest verse in the Bible, he wept. But why exactly did he weep? Was he weeping because Lazarus has died? Was he weeping because he had compassion on these people who felt that loss was final? Was he weeping because he saw the condition of the people, even though he was going to face crucifixion soon, and yet they haven't understood the meaning of his purpose on earth? We do not know clearly. But Jesus wept, and in that time, he told the people, they said they saw him cry, and then he said, well, move. He was moved to tears. They said, see how he loved him. In verse 38 of John 11, it says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And what did he say? Take away the stone, in verse 39. Take away the stone. Could Jesus take away the stone? Yes. But what did he say? He called the people standing there to take away the stone. So, after that, Martha protested. Oh, by this time, that's a bad order. Martha, she's very practical. For he has been dead, he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory? So they took away the stone. What I'm trying to say is, Jesus could have moved the stone, yet Jesus asked the people to move the stone. Have we thought why? Have you and I been called to move the stone anywhere? Is there any place that we should help bring life, bring fresh life to? Is there any place where resurrection should take place in the way we spoke about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44? I'll tell you that the Methodist Church has been in the business of education a long time, from the 1890s. And in that time, the early people that came to Malaysia, this Thalben, Tobin is a young pastor. They came together with the East India Company as part of business come church, you know, to both Myanmar and to Singapore. In Singapore, the people felt that they saw a peninsula, and this peninsula needed the light of Jesus. And so, they asked this young pastor to come over. From the north, from Myanmar, they saw Penang Island as the place that they had to come to. And so, this Tobin came to Penang Island. You must, today we might not see Myanmar in the same way as the days before. Today we see Myanmar as foreign workers in our land serving noodles. But back in those days, I think if you are my age, you'll understand. In Penang, there's something called Rangoon Road. Have that? Mandalay Road. Chao Tai Road. Where did all these names come from? Myanmar. Okay? Myanmar was big time. They were rich. They were important. They were exporters of rice. They were everything supplying to this part of the world. And this peninsula was in darkness. So from Myanmar, they thought they would send this missionary, John Tobin, here. And from the south, these tradesmen also thought the same. And here began the first school in Penang. So this is about 120 over years ago when the missionaries landed. And in Penang, you know, there's a Piket Methodist school, there's a Methodist girls' school, and there's Methodist boys' school in Ayatam. They're all 120 over years, these schools. So what is the motivation? Why did these men roll the stone, take the stone away, so that the people down here in darkness will have a glimpse of what it means to be resurrected? Now, fast forward. We did have, when I came to work in the Methodist Church as a full-time worker, almost 100 pieces of property owned by the Methodist Church used by the Malaysian government for schools. At zero rent. Zero transferred value. Why am I telling you this? So that you will understand what we are trying to do and why we are communicating this message. A long time ago, these, through the early missionaries, they have come to Malaysia and they saw it was in darkness. And how they brought school were young pastors came with their spouse who were educated. And all the you and I, our forefathers, the pendatang to Malaysia, to Malaya, Peninsula Malaya, most of the pendatang came as economic migrants. The same way the people of Bangladesh, Nepal, and Myanmar did. We came as economic migrants. And when we came, most of our forefathers came single. Even if they have wife and children back home, they came single. Subsequently, many of them married local women and had children. And many of the female children especially were not given opportunity for school. This is the tradition of past. And so all these pastors' wives began congregating little children in their house and offering them education and offering them bags of rice. And because of this, the education movement went. In 1957, when we became independent, it is quite normal for any new government to want to bring about their own identity, their own standards of education, and a unified curriculum and teaching scheme. And therefore, they had to think of measures. It is expensive to build schools. And who had plenty of schools? The Christian people. Because of all this history, it was not only us. You would imagine the Catholic Church had their own, and also the Anglican Church had their own. But this was how the movement was. The other block of people that had a lot of school and land were the Chinese schools. The Chinese forefathers came and they wanted to propagate their language. And therefore, they invested a lot of their money into education so that their children will not suffer the same fate as them. And because of the national aspiration, a lot of dialogue took place. And in, I think, 1970, many of the schools, both the Christian schools and the Chinese schools, were transferred to the government for their usage. But the Chinese schools are clever. They had a better negotiation, and so they captured in the act, and they captured also with land available for them to build another independent school. But we, being Christian, maybe a little bit more gullible, more naive, we didn't know how to do that. So all our schools were used as the government schools. As you see throughout the country, the convents, the La Salle schools, the MBS, MGS, ACS, all these are church schools. But we have no... At first, it was okay, because in that transfer, it was promised to us that there will be maximum consultation in appointment of headship, that the board of school will have participative say. But subsequently, as you all know, over the past 60, well, maybe less than 60 years, if we were talking about 1970, over the years, many things have changed in our land. And resulting from the change, the board of the schools were now relegated to just taking care of property. We had no more say in the school. The school have introduced history curriculum that is their version, moral curriculum that is of the predominant faith, and many things else that were not equitable. Secondly, came a lot of what we call asrama penuh, the full hostel schools that were running dual curriculum. And there came the dichotomy of people who were given privileged education, even though we were all born in the same land and should have the same privileges for school. But the church did not have resources and to come into education again. But the Methodist Church at one time did have four pieces of small property that they kept as school for second chance. Back in those days, if you fail Standard 6 exam, you cannot go to Form 1. If you fail Form 3 exam, you cannot go to Form 4. So, as a church, we had compassion that these children were too young to go into the street to be labor. So, we had a school of second chance in various towns. And so, when the government made a system where everybody, almost everybody, can finish school if they want to, these school of second chance were no longer useful. So we took back this school of second chance to convert what we call today the Wesley Methodist School. And the Wesley Methodist School, actually the buildings were quite pathetic, quite small. We sell paint, we sell toilet doors to build the school back. And so out of this came the first few of our schools, first five of our schools. The opportunity came when this land strip in Jelutong Highway, reclaimed land, rubbish land, was designated a portion of it for education. So we were asked if we were interested, and we said yes. But subsequently we learned that actually you cannot just come and build. You'll have to go through the processes, through the land office to buy and all this stuff. And while we were struggling how to find the finances, God was gracious. He helped us take one piece of our old school land and sell off to start the process of being able to acquire this land. So anyway, long story short, fast forward again, we bought this land, and this land had squatters which we couldn't clear. For 24 months, we tried to clear squatters, and many, many people came out to help us. But I want to tell you about the motivation. We felt compelled to come back to Penang to move that stone away. Penang is very special. It has got plenty food, but it also has plenty other religions that are very, very active. I mean, there is nowhere that you see a nine moon god, big festival, seventh month, big festival, and the Thai Pusam, big festival. You know, so much religiosity going on here. So if we are called to move the stone, in obedience, we came and rolled the stone away. We also know that in resurrection, Jesus called the people by name. Lazarus, come out. When the small kid died last in the earlier case, he called Tabitha, rise. So what do we learn? We learn that our job is to roll the stone away, and Jesus will call the student by name. Now, how will the student come to our school? The students can come to our school only if they believe that their children will benefit from it. Yes, we are a school that runs the Cambridge curriculum. And yes, we are a school that offers, well, they call it a tier 3 school. A school that offers the full curriculum from actually early years till year 11, Cambridge curriculum. But we offer Bible knowledge. We also offer chapel, we offer Christian fellowship, we offer the boys' brigade, we offer the girls' brigade. And our total practice of school is with Christian ethos. That's the initial difference we can bring to this school. I thought about this rolling the stone away. I'm just wondering of those men in this story, when they moved the stone away, was it hard or was it easy? I think it's hard because it's heavy. For us, moving the stone away is also heavy. We move the stone away so that Jesus can call the people out. So we pray that this work that we are doing in Penang will be something that will benefit not only the Christian community, but also all other communities that will hopefully hear about Jesus one day. And we pray that the Christian community can help us spread the word of what we are trying to do in Penang. We promise you that we will try our best. The school has got no shareholder, but the owner is God. And there, we are not related to one another. Different ones of us are just called to serve there. So we pray that as we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, we pray for this island. We pray that everybody in the island has a chance to hear. As we know, in our different life stage, different people are appealed to different things. But everybody wants good education for their children. Except that choice of education may not be affordable. So we chose to bring affordable education. So we pray that as a church community, faith community, you will help us share this idea. And I want to say that we were all called to roll the stone away. Let's go to God in prayer to think through some of these things. And if you can talk to people, your children, your children's children, that if they think about education and the importance of education for building citizenship, for choosing good values, for understanding godly wisdom, we pray that we will be the venue that we can help prepare this. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have brought us to Penang. We thank you that you have also even allowed us to have a private school. We thank you that despite all the difficult things, the heavy stone, you have allowed us to build this school. And we want to thank you and bless your name, that even in the first year, we are 635 students strong in the school. We want to thank you that what you have built, we know will prosper. So we pray that you will help everyone who wants to have an affordable school to be able to find a place and come into the school. We thank you for this church community. We thank you for the pastors and leaders and elders in this church. We thank you that they are open and they understand the things we are doing. And so we pray, Lord, that you will also use them mightily so that young children in Penang do not have to be confused between what is culture, what is religiosity, Because from young, they can go into an environment that is safe, that will clarify for them, and that they can grow, not only in academic knowledge, but in the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ, you are Lord. So Lord, thank you for everything, and we want to praise your name, and we want to glorify your name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank Ms. Jenny Kwa for sharing with us. I think it spoke to me about, you know, rolling away the stone. You know that I'm a teacher in a government school, and there are times when I really positively hate the job because it's tough. But today, you know, hearing Jenny talked about rolling away the stone so that the light of Jesus can come in. I think that has spoken to me. And, you know, I encourage you, you know, wherever you are. And she also mentioned about Jesus calling you by name. So Jesus has called you to be in a particular place, to do the hard work of moving away the stone. Will you say yes to him? Okay. As I sat down just now after the announcement, I forgot to thank a few people. Bob, are you here, Bob Bajin? He's not here. Paul, okay? I want to thank our two brothers. Last week, they stood outside the church to be our security officers. So they had heard about the bombing in Sri Lanka, and they stood out there. Thank you very much for being proactive. Let's all stand as we sing a song in closing. We'll sing the song about seeking God's kingdom. Seeking God's kingdom first and His righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Sing it again. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Lord, help us to do that. The glory of your name, Lord, to live for you. Hallelujah. this morning during the time of prayer, God reminded me that we are to be the people of His Word, that the Word of God must be central in our lives. Swami says that Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep Your righteous ordinances. You know, when I was a young Christian, I memorized Psalm 119, verse 9, verse 11. And I think about today how we don't even memorize these verses anymore. But this is what David said in verse 9. He asked this question: how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to Your Word. And Your Word I have hidden in my heart. I have treasured in my heart, so that I may not sin against You. Today, let us pray the words of David in Psalm 119 from verse 11 to 16. As I read, you pray it in your heart. Your Word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of Your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts and regard Your ways. I shall delight in Your statutes, and I shall not forget Your Word. Verse 17 and 18, deal bountifully with Your servant, that I may live and keep Your Word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from Your law. Father God, You have said that You desire obedience more than sacrifice. So Father, I pray that even in the stillness of this moment, You help us to recommit ourselves again to Your Word, O Lord, to love Your Word, to keep Your Word, to let Your Word, O Lord, be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, so we will not walk in the way of darkness, but we will always be walking in the light, so that we will not stumble and fall, so that we will not be ignorant of the wiles of the devil, but we will only take ways that are firm. And God, even as we have heard from Your Word, O Lord, that You have called us and placed us, O Lord, in different stations of life, O Lord, to roll away the stone, so that the life of Jesus, the power of the resurrection, can touch the people. Many, O Lord, still in burial clothes, but needing the breath of life that can only come through Jesus. So, Father, as we leave this place, Lord, help us, O Lord, to be gripped, O Lord, by this call and this mission, O Lord, to roll away the stone. I pray You fill us with the Holy Spirit. Empower us, O Lord, that we might be Your witnesses, O God. And so, Lord, as we leave, O Lord, we leave as Your servants. We leave, O God, going into the fields that are ripe for the harvest, O Lord. And help us to pray that You will send workers into the field and help us to respond if we are being sent, O Lord. Dismiss us now with Your blessings, O God. I want to pray, O Lord, for the work of the Council for Education, the Methodist Church. O Lord, I thank You, O Lord, for this charge that You've given to them, O Lord, in this particular season in Malaysia, O Lord, for them, O God, to take up again the mantle of education, to raise up young men and young women ready, O Lord, to take up the challenge, O God, of rebuilding our broken nation. I pray You bless the people You have called, that God, that You will empower them with strength in the Holy Spirit, anoint them for this work, O Lord, that your name will be honored and glorified. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for speaking to us. Dismiss us now with your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people say, amen. Please do take please do visit the table at the back set up by the team from the Wesley Methodist.